Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
All right, guys, welcome to Always Hungry from iHeartRadio. My name is Bobby Flay, and I'm here with my daughter and co-host.
I'm Sophie Flay.
And on Always Hungry, Sophie and I gather around my stove to cook together.
Well, you cook, I ask the questions and eat the food.
If there's any food left, we come to the table together to share a meal, connect as a family, and tell the stories that matter to us. So today we're talking about essential kitchen tools and also pantry items.
And I wanted to talk about this because I was trying to cook something out of your Bobby at Home cookbook.
Trying to cook something
out? Yeah, I told you, I failed on the muffins. But I noticed in here, which I hadn't noticed before, because I've made some things out of here, was Bobby's essential pantry and equipment. And you really give such a great list of what you should have in your pantry and what equipment you should have to like set yourself up for success.
So, because I knew we were doing this podcast today on this particular subject, I literally went around my kitchen a little while ago, and I just wrote down what I have.
Okay.
Not everything, but...
What do you want to start with? Pantry or equipment?
I want to talk about equipment. So, basically, have like a little container right next to my stove that I call my hand tools, or the things that I go to most, that I use when I'm at the stove.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, like a rubber spatula, a metal spatula, a wooden spoon, a zester.
Yeah, I don't have a zester.
Yeah, you should get one.
Okay.
And then a couple of whisks of different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Some tongs, both long and short.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Then I have some brushes if I'm going to glaze something, you know.
I don't have any brushes.
Ladles, in case I want to, like, I don't know, pasta water into the pan, so to speak. I have something called a spider. You know what that is?
It's like a big... It's like a basically like a big spoon strainer sort of thing.
It's round and it has a lot of holes in it. So you can actually take something solid out of something liquid and the liquid will stay in the pot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a spider.
I was right.
Yeah. And then I have a meat thermometer.
I don't have one of those.
Well, this is what you should get a meat thermometer because a lot of people say, how do you know when it's done? Well, check it. You know, a meat thermometer is important. And then like, then I have a host of things. Want me to read some of the things I have?
Okay.
So I have a citrus juicer, like a hand citrus juicer just to squeeze like lemon and lime juice basically. Christina, there's some pasta puttanesca here if you want it. Okay. And then I have a mallet. Do you know what that's for?
Meat.
Yeah, to pound like chicken breast or, you know, if you're making Milanese or chicken cutlets or something like that. I have a cheese grater, a box grater, if you want a great cheese. Of course, a potato peeler. I have lots of different sizes of mixing bowls.
Yeah, see, I have like three. I think I need more than that.
You need more than that. Then I have measuring cups, both for liquid and for dry. So I have measuring cups, and then I have measuring spoons, you know, for like baking. Mm-hmm. But also measuring cups for like liquid measure.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I have a colander to strain things out. And then some other strainers that are finer, you know, if there's like smaller particles that you want to sort of get rid of. Mm-hmm. Then like pots and pans. I definitely have my cast iron pans.
Yeah.
You use those too.
I love my cast iron pan.
Yeah. You should be able to have those forever. Then I also have stainless steel pans. Mm-hmm. But then I also have my green pans, which are nonstick. Mm-hmm. And I love them because they go in the dishwasher. And you can also sear in them. It's the one pan that I found where it's nonstick and you can get it hot enough that they can sear at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find a pan like that. Mm-hmm. Cutting boards. So I like cutting on wood, especially when I'm cutting vegetables, onions, and things like that. But then I also have plastic ones for like meats and fish. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I have these plastic quart containers that I get from Restaurant Supply House. You can get them on Amazon as well.
Yeah.
And those are good for leftovers.
Right.
You know, because you can never...
That's your Tupperware. You don't really use Tupperware.
I don't use Tupperware.
No.
Because the plastic quart containers, you should go on Amazon and just buy a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Because you can never have enough of those things. Then, of course, I need a roasting pan or two with a rack so I can roast a chicken or a roast or a turkey or what have you. I have one or two stock pots so I can make big things of chicken soup, so to speak.
Every 7 to 10 days.
Exactly. I have some sheet trays. Mm-hmm. And I use sheet trays a lot. I use sheet trays to kind of like, especially if I'm doing a dinner party or a lunch party, I'll put, you know, different preparations on different sheet trays to keep them in line. And also, like, if I'm going to bake biscuits, I need a sheet tray. Or bake chocolate chip cookies or something like that. So, this is a really good example of how to use something, how to make something right out of your pantry. Like, couldn't make it to the store.
Yeah.
Snowstorm, or you're just lazy, or you're hungover.
yeah.
Whatever it is. Like, and you're like, I'm hungry, and, you know, what can I make from out of my pantry, okay? We're gonna make pasta puttanesca.
Okay.
Which actually is translated as in pasta in the style of prostitutes.
What?
Puttanesca is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the stories are like varied as to how it became part of that. One of the stories I read was that they would make this dish because it was had such strong flavors because it has anchovies and capers and garlic, etc., and olives, and it would lure like the men to the brothels.
What?
I don't believe it.
Okay.
But anyway, it's called pasta puttanesca. Okay. Who knows what the story is?
I've never made this.
This is a classic Southern Italian dish. It's so good. So basically, what we're going to do is we're going to start with some garlic, some crushed garlic. So we have garlic, we have anchovies. We have tomato sauce, we have crushed red pepper, capers, and then we have some herbs. We're gonna put some basil, oregano, and parsley in it, and then some Parmesan cheese.
Okay.
This is a good dish. Are you hungry?
So hungry.
This is it's really flavorful, but what's really great is, you know, you have all these things that are basically coming out of your pantry. You know, the anchovies, the capers, the olives. Hopefully you have some garlic in the refrigerator or on top of your counter, which I always do. And then, you know, a good quality jarred tomato sauce or some canned tomatoes. You make your own sauce. Yeah. It's up to you. All right.
You're using Rao's?
Today I'm using Rao's. I always have a good quality tomato sauce in my, just in case I, you know.
You never know who's going to come over.
Yeah, you. Exactly. I literally have it for you, because when you like show up unannounced, and you're like, Dad, I'm hungry. It's like, all right, here. Of course, then I have some things that a lot of people might not have.
Right.
I have like a tortilla press because I'm going to make tortillas.
Although I'd like one of those.
Yeah. I mean, they're cheap and it's cool to make your own tortillas.
Totally.
All you need is some masa harina and some water and you can make your tortillas. They're not easy to do.
Right.
And frankly, I've been cooking Southwestern food and, you know, Mexican-inspired food for a very long time. I'm not great at it. Because there are people that do it every single day in their sleep.
Right.
Those people are good.
Right.
I have a pasta machine. So I have pasta attachments that I actually, you can have like a hand crank pasta machine, which are the classic ones. But I also have attachments for my KitchenAid.
Oh, right.
You know, I think you've seen me do that before.
Yeah.
I also have a good espresso machine. Very important for me to,
same,
to get through the day.
Yeah.
Then I have cazuelas, which are these earthenware, sort of these brown earthenware dishes, round, that you'll see like in a lot of Mexican and Spanish cooking, a lot of Latin cuisines.
Right.
And I use them for kitchen, from oven to table cooking.
Yeah.
You know, roasting mushrooms, roasting shrimp, roasting cheeses.
But you're usually using them in your pizza oven though, right?
You can put them in any oven.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Then I have a muffin tin to make muffins. The other day I made those morning buns from tartine.
Do you ever make cupcakes?
Never.
I've never seen a cupcake in this
house.
I'm not
a cupcake fan.
Love a cupcake.
There's only one good part of the cupcake.
Hmm.
The topping.
As that's not true.
Ina Garten said to me that cupcakes, like the bottom of the cupcake is just the vehicle for the top. Well, she's right. That's face facts.
All right. Anyway, I'm looking on your equipment list here in your book. What's a ramekin?
What's a ramekin?
Yeah.
So a ramekin is like a round little porcelain, not a bowl, but it's like straight edged.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's what the thing that I think about mostly is they make souffles in them.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. I just didn't know that's what it was called. Spice grinder.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good point. It's a coffee grinder, like for coffee greens.
Yeah.
Coffee beans. I use it to grind spices. So like black peppercorns.
Like literally your coffee grinder?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have two. I have one for coffee and one for spices.
Okay.
Don't get it mixed up because then your coffee is going to be very spicy. Which could be cool too.
Wait. Digital scale. Do I really need that?
You need a scale if you're going to bake. Because basically, instead of like, good bakers will tell you that you can't measure cups, you have to weigh grams. It drives me a little crazy, but I'm not a baker. So,
right, okay.
But when I'm making, now when I make pizza dough, I weigh it.
You do?
I do.
What's the perfect weight?
I also take the temperature of the air and the flour.
Are you serious?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, you're getting nutty with it.
Well, because the guy who owns Ratza, Dan Rickert, told me, like, took me through it. He's like, dude, this is science. This isn't like, you know, this isn't pancake batter.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to make it this weekend.
Okay.
So then.
Wait, hold on.
I'm sorry.
I just have questions about this. I don't have 75% of these things. A deep fry thermometer and an instant read thermometer are different?
They are.
You can't just have one?
You can, I guess. But the deep fry ones, the thing about the deep fry ones is that you can submerge it, the whole thing in the oil, and it will actually attach to the pot that you're cooking, that you're heating the oil up in, so you can watch it rise. A instant read thermometer, you just kind of like, you probe whatever the meat is, and then it tells you, like, in the next few seconds what the temperature is.
Got it.
So, I mean, they do somewhat the same thing, but they are different.
I don't have a food processor.
Let me write this down. Seriously, I need to know what to get you for certain holidays, like your birthday.
Oh, great. A food processor for my birthday.
Listen, I bought you an espresso machine. You were thrilled.
Yeah, because I love do I really need a food processor if I have a blender?
Yes, they're very different. Just think about it for a second. A blender is incredibly powerful from the bottom up. And a food processor will actually cut and mix things in a circle. It does things very differently. Sometimes a blender is too powerful for something you want to food process.
Okay. Microplane.
Zester.
Oh.
That's the zester.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, a microplane?
Yeah, because it was used for something else, and then somebody figured out that it made a better zester than the zesters that we used to use.
Got it. Okay.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Okay, now we can move on to pantry.
Okay, so here's the things that I have in my pantry. So I have a couple different olive oil. I have a couple different oils. I have extra virgin olive oil, and I have cooking oils, like canola oil, for instance, something light, canola or vegetable oils.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the extra virgin olive oil, I don't usually heat up very often because it can get really bitter very quickly. I usually finish things with it. It's almost like a sauce because it's so pungent in terms of flavor, and it's got such a rich, sort of thick texture to it. And I think when you add heat to it, I think it loses its properties.
Mm.
So I use something that has a higher smoke point, so a lighter oil like canola or vegetable oil, peanut oil, something along those lines to cook with. I also use a ton of honey in my cooking.
Yeah.
Not to make things sweet, but to make, to kind of balance out the big flavors that I use. I use kosher salt and sea salt. I crack my own black pepper. So I always have a big bowl of cracked black pepper or ground black pepper that I use to season everything with.
What's the difference between black peppercorns and white peppercorns other than obviously the color?
The hull.
Like, do they taste different?
They do taste different. White pepper, yes. Yeah, they definitely. How do you describe the flavor?
Like, why would you choose to use one over the other?
They have different flavors. I mean, black pepper tastes to me like what pepper is supposed to taste like. White pepper is peppery as well, but it almost has like a, what's the best way to describe this? Almost like an earthier flavor.
Okay.
I don't know. I just like the flavor of black pepper.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
One of the things I'm really into is Szechuan peppercorns.
So good.
And they give you like a tingle on your tongue. But I'm going to make a Szechuan peppercorn hot sauce and make tacos with it. I don't know why anybody hasn't done that yet.
Wait, don't tell anyone about that. That could be like a new business.
Whatever. I mean, there's no secrets in the world. All right. So then I have then I have different things in my pantry. So lots of different kind of vinegars, balsamic vinegar, cider vinegar, rice wine vinegar, red wine vinegar, white wine vinegar.
Yeah, I have some of these.
You do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, vinegars are great to have around.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I have, I have a handful of different bottles of Asian ingredients. You know, so there's, soy sauce, of course, and tamari, which is a gluten-free soy sauce tamari.
Mm.
And then I have sesame oil.
Love sesame oil.
Toasted sesame oil.
I'm obsessed with sesame oil.
It's delicious.
Right now.
Rice wine vinegar. Then I have like some Thai things like red curry, green curry paste, some coconut milk, in cans.
Yeah, I always have red curry paste in my cabinets.
Right. And then I have some sweeteners, things like agave, molasses.
You don't even like agave.
I don't. but it's in there. I have agave, I have molasses, I have... of course, honey, maple syrup, I have pomegranate molasses.
Oh, yeah, that's one I got to add.
Here's my new favorite one, date nectar or date molasses. So good.
For what?
I use it for, glazes, and it's really good in, like smoothies, like a date shake.
Oh.
So good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good in dressings as well.
Love.
Delicious. And then, of course, I have some olives, of course, capers. And then mustards, like whole grain, Dijon, I have yellow mustard in case somebody wants a hot dog.
When are you making hot dogs?
I'm not.
Exactly.
And then, sometimes I have like horseradish mustard or honey mustard in there as well. All right, so we're going to start by cooking the garlic, just sauteing it really quickly, some anchovies. We don't want to brown the garlic. And put the tomato sauce right over it. Anchovies are one of the great things in the world. It has so much flavor. And not enough people use them. Mm. So right now we have the little olive oil, some garlic, anchovies, tomato sauce. I'm going to put some capers in there as well. The crushed red pepper. Let this cook in the sauce. We're cooking spaghetti. Is that okay with you, Sophie?
Yeah, I love spaghetti. Right. I can't believe I've never made this before.
Yeah, this is
everything I love.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of salty flavors. We'll chop up some green olives. These are Sicilian olives, which makes sense for this dish, since it's really a southern Italian dish. Some olives in there. Let it kind of bathe in the tomato sauce with the anchovies and the garlic. And then we have some fresh herbs. We're going to add the fresh herbs at the end. So we have parsley, we have some fresh oregano, and a little bit of basil. And then, of course, there's baking. you know, baking powder, baking soda.
I know. I feel like it's so easy once you have like everything on this list or the list that you're about to read. But like if you don't have one thing, it's so stressful. Like half the time when I don't have like baking powder, I'm like, should I just drive to Dad's and go get like a cup of it? Like it's so annoying. I feel like if you have like five or six things stocked in your pantry for baking, like you're good to go like 95% of the time.
Well, the problem here is like this happened to me the other day. My pantry is so well stocked all the time that I always feel like I have everything. Oh. Except the other day you wanted to come over for brunch and you wanted waffles. And then I looked, I was like, oh my God, I don't have any baking powder. So, you know, Christina got me some baking powder, but like I didn't even realize I didn't have any baking powder. Like I'm not sitting around doing inventory of the pantry, but I should. And then like different kinds of flours, like all-purpose flour for all-purpose things, you know, bread flour for different kinds of, you know, cakes, et cetera. Then there's almond flour, semolina flour to make some pastas or things like that, masa harina to make tortillas. I have Wonder flour, which is like, it's a brand actually, but it's basically steamed flour. The flour is already cooked, so it's good to, if you're breading something and you don't want the flour to be clumping up on raw. Wonder flour like melts very easily.
You have stone ground cornmeal on here.
Yeah, cornmeal. Cornmeal is really great because you can crust like fish or chicken in cornmeal, so you can have a cornmeal crusted fish. Obviously, you can make cornbread. You can make cornmeal waffles. I'm a huge cornmeal fan. I love it. Sometimes I have blue cornmeal too. Which is a little softer, but it's got a great nutty flavor to it. Then different kinds of sugars, of course. You need granulated sugar, but then there's, you know, brown sugar, light, dark. You know, the darker the sugar, the more sort of molasses flavor it's going to have. And you know, of course, I have chili peppers everywhere. You know, pods.
Literally
dried chilies, ancho chilies, cascabel chilies, pasilla chilies, chili powders. And then, of course, there's a spice rack, you know, and that's a whole other thing, which is, you know, it's important to keep your dried spices, like, kind of up to date. Like, they don't last forever.
Right.
You know, after a year or so, like, it's time to replenish them. And they're not cheap, so it's like, it's a pain. But the bottom line is, if you're going to use these spices, and you don't need every spice ever made.
Right, but like, so sometimes I see, like online, like I was thinking about this the other day, I don't have like a real spice rack, like I just have some random spices that I've bought like for different recipes and whatnot. Like, is there a good place to go get spices? Like, should I just order like a spice rack online of, like, where do you get your spices?
I buy them in bulk and then put them in containers.
Okay, so yeah, I don't necessarily need to do that.
You don't need to do that, because but you want...
But I'm never going to run through spices like you.
You want to go to a place that sells spices a lot because you want to make sure that
that's... Like a spice store?
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Spice store in my area.
there's a place... Well, there's a place called in New York City called Kalustians, which is an Indian spice store. It's an amazing store. You walk in there, you're intoxicated by the amazing aromas, and they have these just gorgeous spices. It's just so good. So you don't want to buy it online because you don't know how long it's been sitting in the warehouse for.
Yeah. Oh, Spice Station Silver Lake.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
See you there.
Interesting. What's a saffron thread?
It's saffron. So saffron comes from a flower. And the reason why saffron is so expensive is because there are people that literally by hand take each thread of the saffron out of the flower.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's the most expensive spice in the world. But there's no substitute for saffron because you can't emulate the flavor. You can emulate the color. It's a beautiful orangey yellow color. Like, so you can use turmeric to flavor rice, to season rice or to color rice, but it's never going to have saffron flavor.
How often do you sharpen your knives?
Well, I sharpen them all the time on a steel, but that's just really sort of bringing them back into alignment. So you can do it yourself on a stone, either a water stone or, you know, on a regular knife sharpening stone. Or you can take it to a place and they'll do it on a machine. Now, the problem with this, okay, is that I don't want to say they can ruin your knives, but the machines are so powerful that at some point it starts to change the shape of your knife.
Oh.
You know, because it starts getting, because of the way that they sharpen them so well that it actually kind of starts chipping away at the metal, you know?
Okay. So what do I need, a stone?
Yeah, you can do it yourself. On a
sorcerer's stone.
Yeah.
And you can, you didn't get the Harry Potter reference.
Go to YouTube and they'll teach you how to sharpen a knife.
I am not learning how to sharpen a knife off of YouTube.
Yes, you will.
That freaks me out. I'm just going to come over here.
Okay, I'll show you.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
And then there's like the you know, the pasta section. So I have cans of whole tomatoes to make tomato sauce, of course. I have tomato paste, and then different kinds of pastas. You know, every
shape.
You have
shape, like every pasta,
every shape and size.
Yeah.
Flavored pastas, squid ink pasta. Mm-hmm. There's a whole wheat pockery in there that Christina loves. We made that the other day with rockfish. It was so good. And then dried fruits. Currants, apricots, cranberries, great for salads.
I don't feel like I ever noticed you having a lot of dried fruits around.
Yeah, those are really good for like chopped salads.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I don't remember you having a lot of those when I was younger.
No,
is that a new thing?
Yeah, it's sort of like more my Mediterranean thing.
Flavor.
Yeah.
Like, you always have a lot of like candied ginger, I feel like, too.
You know, I don't have any candied ginger here, but I should get some. I like, it's a great snack.
I feel like that's like something new that I've like noticed that you've like had in your pantry more recently.
I'll tell you what I've had a lot in my pantry recently is are these nut butters. You know, besides peanut butter and almond butter, like my new, I'm now a pistachio butter junkie.
Yeah, it's the best.
I mean,
you know what I do is that sometimes I make a piece of toast and then I do half the piece of toast peanut butter and half the other piece of toast pistachio butter and then I drizzle honey on top.
Mm.
I know, right?
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
No, I'm addicted to it.
It's so good.
There's a place in the Hollywood Farmers Market that has a really great quality one that I buy like two jars at a time.
Yeah.
It's so good. Also, I think it's important to have like beans in the, like there were some colleagues of mine, contemporaries, I should say, chefs, who are like, I don't use canned beans. I'm like, okay. So you be my guest, spend 4 hours cooking white beans. And a lot of times, like, the skin on them doesn't get tender for one reason or the other. And, but I always have, like, cans of, like, cannellini white beans in there.
Mm-hmm.
Black beans, chickpeas. It's great to make like a hummus out of chickpeas.
I always have canned chickpeas in my.
You know, like, you know, Christina like making like this chickpea curry thing that she loves to make, and you know, it's great to make soups with and things like that as well. They're always good to have around. They're cooked perfectly.
Yeah.
You strain them out. You know, you strain out the juices in them, and then you know they're good to use. I also have like tetra boxes of like chicken broth and vegetable broth.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good to have around.
Definitely.
A lot of times I make my own, but in a pinch, why not?
Yeah.
You know, important to do that.
This thing is sizzling. How high is it?
I always cook on high.
That is so scary.
You can turn it down if you want.
No, I mean, you know what you're doing.
Mostly. All right. And then if the tomato sauce gets a little thick, you know,
add some pasta water.
There you go. You're learning, girl. You're learning. Let's give our pasta a taste. Mm. Perfect.
Good?
Yeah. And so what I do is I take the spaghetti and I just bring a little bit of the sauce with it. I mean, a little of the water with it.
Okay.
And then before I put it in the sauce, I just season the pasta again with some salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And now I start bathing in the sauce.
Yum.
How does this look?
Delish.
Yeah, you have to make sure that the noodles cook in the sauce for a minute. I'm just gonna put a splash of pasta water in there. And I'm gonna put like a pat of butter just to give it like a nice sort of glaze on
top
of it. And it's very classic, especially in Southern Italian pasta dishes, to finish it with like a little bit of butter. And then, as you know, the fresh herbs go in when?
At the end.
Exactly. How's that look?
Really good. It's like a nice bright red with all the capers and the olives running through.
A little Parmigiano.
Oh, that's a lot.
A lot of what, Parm?
Yeah.
Good.
Yum. Oh yeah, a little olive oil, top it off.
Yeah.
A little more herbs.
Pasta puttanesca. Right out of the pantry. I didn't have to go to the store.
Lucky me. Always Hungry is created by Bobby Flay and Sophie Flay.
Our executive producer is Christopher Hasiotis.
Always Hungry is produced, edited, and mixed by Jonathan Haas-Dressler.
Always Hungry is engineered by Sophie Flay. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.